This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by otbdiscs.com.
At one point in time, if you listened to the show, you knew about our little secret site to get awesome discs. It's not a secret anymore. It is a site where you can learn everything about the discs you're purchasing before you actually have them in your hands.
Get disc weight, dominess, flatness, all kinds of ratings. Learn it before you get it in there and get your favorite disc at only the best discs, otbdiscs.com. Use promo code DGPODCAST to get free shipping on your next order. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 215 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin, and alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
I feel like you like rushed through that. You're just excited to hang out with me, or?
Well, I was trying to get it, you know, on a normal time schedule because I have a second person to introduce, which is Tyler Brickley.
Woo!
Of Disc Golf Comedy.
You guys getting that name right.
Do you guys have fanfare like effects on your little soundboard or something? You can put some clapping,
yeah,
or how does that work?
Farts mostly, but
Tyler Brickley.
We ran out of those effects for now. I think I'm they're being restored slowly. I'll let you know when they're ready.
Joe didn't eat enough pizza today for us to have the soundboard work.
I thought maybe you bought like a free trial to a sound effect software and it's expired. You're like, no, we don't have those now.
I can't believe Joe actually had a piece of pizza ready to go behind him.
100%
he's out of control.
He's method, man. He's method, you know?
Wow. That is... All right. Well, the soundboard might be up and running by the end of the show.
Team,
you never know.
This isn't just a character he plays. You know, this is like he's got pizza there.
Yeah, it's more of a sensory board, but, you know, it's a full experience for everyone. Sure.
Well, we're
sure it's going to go great.
We're trying to spin off a second channel of mukbang ASMR.
Oh, wow.
I don't.
Hate ASMR. I never got into it except to make some joke, like funny videos with it. But some people like hate, like nails on a chalkboard, hate it.
I love that shit. No joke.
You do, for real?
No joke. Love it.
Though it's the weird, not the weirdest people. Wow, that would have been a bad choice of words. The, like, you just never know. There's no there's no stereotype for who's going to like ASMR and who's not.
I feel like everyone could. You just got to be open to it and find the thing that you're into with it. You say that. There's so many different little worlds of it. You're just not open. You're just not, and that's
okay.
All right. That's all right. All right,
I'm open to it. I'm just thinking that that's a pretty hot take because it's so like it even there's like a physiological response, and you know all of our bodies are so much different.
True.
Like
true.
Take
good
you
call,
and
call.
Me
yeah.
Compared to Robin here. I mean, obviously, all of our bodies are so much different.
Yes.
Draw
yes,
your own
course.
Conclusions.
And imagine the people that have like sound phobias, like the misophobia, the people that can't stand people that chew loudly.
I thought that was people
and, like,
who couldn't stand Jar Jar Binks.
And that's I think everybody
that's
has
Misa.
That.
We all have, but
misophobia.
I thought that's what he said. Oh, miso. Okay, yeah, different thing.
But I don't mind ASMR. I've listened to some here and there, and it can be calming. But yeah, it's definitely not like nails on chalkboard for me. But I don't actively seek it out. On any regular basis.
I wonder if there's anybody who actually likes nails on a chalkboard ASMR.
I mean, there's definitely ASMR where literally the person is tapping their fingernails on, not scratching, they're tapping in some sort of pattern on something that very
and
well
I'll
could
say
be
there's
a chalkboard.
There's tons of ASMR that I'm like, nope, not for me. I do not like that. I'm not into that. But there's a good chunk that I'm like, super into, helps me fall asleep, helps me relax. Like there are times that I'll put ASMR in the background at work when I have like a really big grant request that I have to write. Like I need to come with this huge narrative and I'll put that on in the background just to help me calm and focus and
what's
and
your sound away.
I really
what's
like
your what's your genre
whispers.
Oh wow. Yeah. I'm like so trying to keep an open mind.
I know that's my like, shit.
That's a thing that he just said and I'm like responding to it.
You know what? And like and I'll bare my soul right now.
Oh,
I
man.
Hate in person if someone's chewing in my ear, I fucking can't stand it. But right. if someone's like chewing gum whispering ASMR, I love it. Love it.
So like, is this a good, like, is this a good experience for you?
Not bad.
What are you doing later?
Can we get on a call and you can whisper to me while I fall asleep?
Shit's oh real. Yeah, that's not whisper, Robin. That's the thing. Like, there's.
Well, no, mine would have to be more sensual. There's no way I can go to a low voice without just being like, "Hey, everybody, welcome to the Disc Golf Podcast ASMR show, where we just let our hearts."
Tyler's
out.
So much better.
Talk.
Wow, that's probably the third most intimate you've ever gotten with a guest on the DG Pod. Am I right?
I mean, we've had people in studio before, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, it gets weird.
Why not?
Definitely gets weird.
So yeah, Disc Golf Podcast.
I asked you guys in the pre-show how threatened you were by Nate Sexton's new podcast. And I think the general response was not at all.
It's more the merrier. We are, in my mind, kind of our own little world in Disc Golf Podcasts. I mean, we're the only explicit. I very much doubt. I am willing to pretty much bet anything that Nate Sexton's podcast will not be an explicit podcast.
Indeed. Maybe explicitly polite.
Right. Which is great. And we had him on the pod a long, long while ago, which was just bad for multiple reasons. Not him at all. It's just...
He was sick.
He was sick. Oh. And we didn't... So early on, we didn't talk with our guests really before jumping into the interview.
Okay.
Actually, it was pretty much because of that interview that we started having a little chat before we started recording. So like the very first question was like, what kind of beer do you like? Boom, no drinking. And it was like, well, that just sank half of our interview.
Well, there's
that was
the next
a horrible
45
idea
minutes.
Of just like, let's get through this on both ends. So
on top of that, we probably should have known that at that point.
Yeah. But, and the recording quality was super poor. We didn't have him record on our end. We like recorded computer. It was all bad. He is compelling. Yeah. He's a great guy. I think it'll be good. The more people who come to listen to Disc Golf Podcast, the better for us, I kind of think. Just saying that we are kind of a unique brand in this world right now. We kind of have our own little subgenre in the Disc Golf Podcast world. So people that are into it will find us.
And also, I'm just excited to listen to his podcast, find out what it's about.
I know, right?
And, you know, whenever you're listening to someone that is so good at the sport and also well-spoken and, you know, an ambassador of the game, I want to listen to that.
Yep.
I virtually any video that Nate Sexton puts out, I've watched.
Yep.
And just in general, I'm pro-content. So
wow. I didn't know you guys hated him that much.
That's
shocking.
It's really hard to, you know, come out in public and say nice things about him when you have just a deep-seated hatred that is so strong.
I mean,
boiling to the surface at every word.
You got to scrape. I mean, because there's only like 237 awesome things about him in the first place. So, I mean, it's like, how can you find anything to say?
Well, that's the thing. Like, overly polite, great people is just something Robin hates. Robin hates Andrew Luck. I don't understand it, but it's just like the world he lives in.
I'm sorry.
Nice and polite. My
Lloyd Wima is showing. Who's Andrew Luck?
Look at you. Whoa. Okay.
I just memed. I just made a meme out of Lloyd Wima.
Right. Out of something you didn't know. Anyways. Are you for reals on Andrew Luck? Is that
a
real?
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. I am, though. I'm learning all sorts of things tonight. A lot of them we can't even
talk about. I don't really blame
about.
Tyler on this one. I don't what was that segue even meant to be, Joe?
He was
where's the joke?
Most cordial, kindest quarterback like ever. He would get sacked and be like that was a great tackle, great job. Like that was his whole thing. People hated how much he was just like, oh, great hit, great sack. Like that was his whole spiel. Great quarterback who retired early due to injuries. Indianapolis Colts. CF probably doesn't want to be your friend anymore, but that's fine.
Yeah, we are getting some hand slaps or some face palms. Listen, I don't know anything about professional sports.
In general, like, is there a sport that you're general, like, oh, this is my thing.
Are you saying that disc golf is
shit.
Not a professional sport?
Damn.
Dang it!
You just got burned.
Oh my gosh! Well,
it's kind
aren't
of
you a marketing
kind of fucked
manager
up,
for
man.
A professional sports?
Hey,
brand?
Monday, probably late afternoon after I get fired. Do you guys have any openings? I mean, maybe we talk.
Yeah, we need a producer really
okay,
bad.
Okay. What's the? You guys got benefits? Or...
Oh, we pay you in discs.
Okay.
I have this. This disc
I
right
never
here.
Heard of it. Look, I got another
okay.
one.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
We have smelling salts.
I'll hit you up.
You can have as many of those as you want.
So perks. When I say perks, I don't mean like things that'll perk you up. I mean like dental, life, anything like that.
You could like live in the Shedio, and maybe one of Robin's kids will like throw toothbrushes to you here and there. I don't know.
What if I don't need? I just need one. I'm like, son, stop throwing toothbrushes at me. I'm good on toothbrushes. I need food now. It's been 3 weeks.
All right. Well, we've got a great show for you guys tonight. We're going to talk about...
and how they know that's not true is how we all just died laughing right there.
We're going to talk about how Tyler is learning about what the sport of disc golf is and that there are indeed professionals that play in tournaments.
Prove it.
A tournament title. Well, actually, I'll do the tournament explainer later. We'll do
okay,
that.
Okay, thanks.
But we'll talk about Innova extending five of their big-time players and the sixth player that was not on that list. So that'll be fun. The ESPN2 DGP coverage, DGPT coverage, we'll talk about that. And then I believe Tyler has some questions prepared for us.
I do
as well.
No, don't set your hopes too high on that. But I put it in the Slack group and got a couple responses. Also, guys in the chat,
beautiful.
Hit me up.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So beautiful. And lastly, we'll do our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both and let you know whether you should bring on the course. Tonight we have the DGA Rift, which is a 5-speed 4-glide minus 1-turn 1.5 fade mid-range driver. Good times. Thank you, Tyler, for sending.
Thank you. Welcome.
Much appreciated.
It to us. And we are pairing that with Maui Wowie by Altamont Brewing Company, a 6.5% single malt IPA. And
Tyler doesn't have the same beer as us. He has a.
I'm
have
not.
You cracked that bad boy?
No, should I do that?
Yeah, I think you need to get rolling on that bad boy.
Oh,
and
gosh,
let the listeners know what that is.
This is a Manhattan Social Club by Boulevard Brewing Company out of Kansas City. And I went to my local liquor store, Jay's Liquor. Thank you, Jay. He gave me a super big discount on this because I told him I'm going on a podcast tonight and I need something interesting to talk about. So this was a one-off that he had in the back room, which that's totally sketchy.
Wow, what was the one-off in the back? Oh, never mind.
No. Yeah, the beer. Okay. Yeah. No, I stayed up front by the counter, so we're good there. But he gave me this. They normally sell this for $10, and he gave me this for $2.
Oh,
how
damn.
About that?
And what?
Just
wow.
because
you
of you guys?
12%. What is it? I'm gonna go Imperial.
What
Stout.
Should I? It says Manhattan inspired. Manhattan inspired ale. Does that mean anything
Ooh.
To you?
Well, Manhattan is a whiskey drink.
Whiskey. What else should I? Limited release 2020. I don't see any other descriptors on it. Oh, here we go. In Puerto Rico, you can get 5 cents for the recycling of this.
What about?
Does that tell you anything?
Excellent.
What about California?
Vermont.
What about
$0.05?
Guam? No?
Mississippi, 10 cents.
Well, that's okay. All in Mississippi.
Okay. Carolina.
All right. Well, as much as I'd love to continue this.
Are you sure?
So pumped.
Yeah,
so
you know.
Cheers.
Sometimes I do struggle to keep my emotions off my sleeve, but I'm working on it. Okay. So, just leave me, just knock off. Right. All right, Tyler, I would love for you, before we get into all those boring things that I said we were going to talk about that we, you know, don't actually have to talk
yes.
about. I want to get your questions for us because, that sounds like a lot more fun than me asking you questions.
Okay. So in case you guys don't know, this is the Disc Golf Podcast with Joe and Robin. And they have a website.
You said that in the right order, by the way.
A lot of people do say Robin and Joe. I've wondered at that. I'm like, that's not alphabetical or beardabetical. So Disc Golf Podcast with Joe and Robin. And you can go to throwstuffatstuff.com. And what you'll find there is some other stuff that I don't really know about. But the main thing that's there that I know about is access to their Slack group. Okay? This is all going somewhere. So you go there, you sign up for their Slack group, and then what you'll find is one main room with about 1,000 people in it. They're socially distanced, so don't worry about that. And then there's about how many? I don't even know. Do you know how many sub-channels you have?
Oh, shit.
I think there's like 50 or 60 at this point.
If not more.
So it's like one main common area, kind of a cafeteria, if you will. And then there's about 50 or 60 closets off around, you know, where you can find different rooms for any different topic
that you
can think of.
I'd like to call
them
like labs, you know, like little lab rooms more than closets. Just saying.
I found a lot of kind of closet conversations happening, though, in some of those. But not the... Not the DGA holes. Let me tell you, this is all a big commercial for a sub channel.
Join
on your
Slack
group.
To jump into Tyler's group.
The DGA holes is by far the most intellectually stimulating, emotionally encouraging, and you're not going to find a better group of camaraderie around any sub channel of any Slack server on the internet. And I hope you find all the instructions that I gave to you. I hope you walk through all those and you look in the DGA Holes sub channel and tag me, say hi. We give away discs in there. It's kind of like it's kind of becoming a thing, actually. There's 54 people in there now.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
That's yeah.
That's a percentage. I mean, even if it's a small number, it's still a percentage number of the total group.
Well, I mean, one is a percentage number of the total group, but yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So I remember when we started, we had like 20 people in there, and my goal was to get to 50. I was like, guys, because it was Discraft. I was like, I just want our sub channel to be bigger than the Discraft sub channel. And
no, so here's the real deal, Tyler. You'll know you made it when your brand doesn't need a sub channel anymore. That's when it gets
shit.
Real.
That's too real, Robin.
Yeah.
You got too real.
How could we survive on our own? That's like when my mom told me, like, "Hey, I think it's about time for you to be on your own." I'm like, "Yeah, but
well, because it,
who would pay for my
it
stuff?"
It means that the talk about those specific discs is acceptable in the main general chat and that everyone knows about it.
Okay, so
that's what you're building towards. You're building towards going, you want to go from 50 to, you know, like 50,000 and then zero because it's just everywhere.
Hashtag real talk. I was talking about the amazing community that you guys have built today to my boss. This is a real story. And I was like, I really want that for us. And I've legit had thoughts about maybe we should just start our own server, you know, and just make it all DGA and do lots of different sub channels and stuff like that. And I'm like, also, I don't want to do that. But also I do. I found myself a couple times referring people to your podcast's Slack server because they wanted to connect with us like as DGA fans.
I honestly
and like
think
I have
that
no
makes,
problem with that. I think it's kind of fun.
I think that makes so much more sense. There have been other disc golf commodities that have attempted to build. We lucked out. I'll be totally honest. I'm not saying we're like something above. We just got in early and just grinded it out, and now we have this really cool community. And in my mind, that makes the most sense, really, is to bring more people to the big hub and then, you know, slide them into those sub channels and whatnot than trying to start something brand new.
You would say that. Listen,
it's
guys,
so hard
just
to
so
do.
You know,
it's so hard
I'm paying
to do.
Him $500 a month to have that sub channel in there. So, of course, he wants more sub channels.
Yeah. Oh, are you sending that to Robin? Because I don't.
Did
Robin?
Robin said that you were the. Robin said that your email was our disc golfer always aces at yahoo.com.
Oh, no.
Is that
it.
Not?
Every month I give you hundreds of dollars of my money and you pay the rent.
Madame Kamei.
Anyway, I've got no intentions of doing that. I'm just going to keep building DGA's fan base on your podcast Slack group. But
we
it is a special community.
That.
You're
I would love
right
that.
About that.
I think that's fantastic.
It's the point in the relationship where we need to move in together or I'm going to have to leave and start seeing other people. So I think actually we probably just need to make this official.
We've had a room for you this whole time.
Yeah.
Wait, like a real room or like one of those proverbial rooms?
It's a box over in the corner, but it's got a nice view. There's a window right above it, so it's
there's a window.
Oh man, I'm Robin probably knows this off the top of his head. I really like am searching to be totally honest for the name of the dog in basketball. Like that's a perfect.
Oh, I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking about? You got that reference?
Probably Rex.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't know the name of the dog. I'm sorry, Joe.
Oh. All that to say, I posted in DGA Holes an hour ago and said, what questions do you have for Joe and Robin? And they want to know, let's just go down the list. Ask them when they are going to review the bonsais that Danny from OTB gave them, says Sean.
At some point. Next question.
Okay. Ask them what they want for the holidays. And we've got a couple bullseyes on that. So there's some support.
Like, is this like a physical gift or are we talking like just philosophical desires for the world? What
you tell me physical gift, Joe will tell us philosophical desires.
Oh, you got that wrong. But okay,
let's
go
see.
That's not true. Go ahead, Robin.
I would like I love Legos, so if you'd give me anything that's Legos, that's what I
anything
want.
Anything that's Legos.
We have so many discs in this and we have a podcast budget dedicated to buying discs, and then wonderful people like Tyler send us discs and other people do too. So disc golf stuff, I have piles of disc golf stuff. So I'll go to one of my other loves is Legos. That Star Wars Legos are sweet. Really down for that. That's what I want for Christmas.
So before I go into the philosophical piece, Robin, the way that you're holding your mic right now in this video,
not that there's a video.
No, every once in a while makes it. Well, of course, we're in a video chat, Tyler, Robin and myself. So we can.
Oh yes. The
podcast.
Video chat.
Every once in a while, it looks like you have the most beautiful mustache with that microphone. That's,
oh my gosh,
that's
you're right.
Something that I really want. Like, look
it's
how
like
clean that is. Tyler, you see that.
It's Pancho Villa.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
It is
Pablo
mesmerizing.
Escobar.
It's breathtaking. So a Robin mustache. We're going back to physical for a minute. Just a nice, clean Robin mustache. Beyond that, I mean, we want our podcast to continue to grow. Life's been, you know, rough for everyone. We're in a pandemic. It's crazy. We've missed some shows here and there. When we get back in, the beautiful thing is it doesn't feel like we've missed a show. We get right back to it, hang out. It's great. I think the ability to maybe use this platform that we created of drinking beer and bullshitting on the internet to find ways to get out to more events. And
you didn't create drinking beer and bullshitting on the internet. Just FYI, that's been going on since Al Gore. What you did is you've concentrated
it. Prove it.
Prove that's it. True. That's prove true. It. I can't. All right.
So we invented that. Noted. I think, you know, ultimately, when the world returns to a semblance of its former self, we'd love to be able to find a way to get to more tournaments and things like that. And it's support from listeners and the community to do things like that. So I think that's a Christmas wish, but more so just a disc golf podcast life wish.
Well said, sir. Sean also said that he, on our list of demands, he would like to add a vaccine.
Yes,
he doesn't.
I'm very super into that.
He does not specify, although one would assume he's talking about the coronavirus, but no, that could mean
for sure. Herpes.
I was going to say it could mean just about anything. We'll put a big blank.
Sean, yeah, it's definitely herpes.
Mm-hmm.
He's Canadian, quick question: so. Does would the herpes vaccine work?
It gives you herpes
retroactively
after?
It's not.
No,
it's,
it gives
it, if you.
It gives you herpes. It's for people who don't have it that want it. You can get the herpes vaccine.
Oh. But it would only then prevent. It does not. If you already say someone had an issue,
okay.
It wouldn't then fix it.
Oh, like
it,
do you
right?
know somebody?
It
just, no, it's not a. It's not
I, maybe
not,
I do
not a
or
cure
don't.
Vaccine.
Joe told me not to say it on the show,
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I wanted to protect his identity. In
well, if
that.
Your friend Bobbin wants to know about this vaccine more, they can go to ca.health.gov/herpessucks.com and
I thought it was dot gov.
I thought it was slash kill the herp.
Did I have too many directories in there?
I think so, yes.
That's not how the internet works.
Nailed it.
Okay, last one. Who is your favorite buoy boy? And for the uninitiated, because you haven't gone to throwstuffatstuff.com, signed up for the Slack, and then found our sub channel, that's kind of the name, that's kind of the team name of the DGA holes, the
well,
Buoy
I
Boys.
Well, I frequent DGA holes. Do you, Robin, as much as I do?
No,
he does not.
I
don't, but it's an easy choice for me because he's actually the commissioner of one of our disc golf podcast fantasy football leagues. And has sent us discs and beer and is a wonderful person. But
Christopher Eplin.
C-Ep is easily the best.
I'm very much in the same boat. You can jump in, Tyler, because you know better than I. Although maybe sometimes he gets too quote-unquote real, I do very much enjoy my boy Drew Lusk, who's also sent us some D's here and there also. He can get a little in a little much, but both great. I guess Tyler's all right also.
We just got a new member to the DGA holes in Slack. Thanks for joining. Now we're up to 55. This has been totally worth it for our brand, guys. Thanks. I couldn't pick my favorite. There are so many people who are making me laugh in there like all day, every day. Christopher,
so
I will
on
say...
brand.
Christopher has been so unbelievably generous to me as well as you guys, like supporting disc golf comedy and stuff, that it's just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, Sep. Like, you need to stop. Like, it's a problem how nice and generous you are. See somebody. But I've always called him Sep. It's very interesting for me to hear you guys say C-Ep because I'm like, oh yeah, that's his first letter. Last name.
I actually so when he sent us I can't remember what disc and what beer it was, but he sent both, but I always messaged those people beforehand, be like, how do you want to be identified on the show? And he confirmed that it was
C-Ep. Man, that's gonna be hard for me to unlearn. Even when I'm talking to him in person, like we played Rocket League last night, I think, and I was calling him Sep the whole time.
It was last night.
He's probably just too starstruck to correct you.
it was last night that was, because I was telling you before we started the podcast that I was like going to bed dead tired, and yeah. you were like live on YouTube playing Rocket League at like 10, and that's 10 our time. And I was like, yeah. I have no idea how your life works, that that is a thing you do.
Yeah. How far ahead is Australia? It's like, what, yeah, 14 hours,
it's
right?
It's basically the same time. You just switch the AM and PM. So I was having a little bit of brunch playing some Rocket League.
Your American accent's great.
Yeah, it's been getting quite good, hasn't it?
Yes,
really,
very believable.
Really growing in. I got to be Australian with Brody Smith last night on Instagram, on one of his little Live things. That was pretty exciting.
I wonder if he likes us again yet, or still, I don't know.
He did. I asked him specifically. You'd think I went on there to promote disc golf comedy, but actually that was the first thing. I was like, so let's talk disc golf podcast.
I like it.
He
said,
well
done, sir.
Love those guys. Love what they're doing. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Direct quote.
I believe three of those things.
Oh, we got two people in DGA holes. Let's go. This is like a pledge drive.
I'm just... Well, I believe that Brody Smith loves us still. I seriously doubt he mentioned one of those holidays.
Prove it.
Just going out
I'm
going
to use Joe's thing. I love that. If they can't prove it, that means it has to be true. This is
that.
Great.
Everyone knows that. That's truth right there.
Yes. Fallacies
oh, man,
are
effective. There's the phallus again. I knew it was going to come back from the
Welcome
pre-show.
Welcome to hanging out with Robin. It's always a
oh,
dick
man.
With Robin.
You got to just keep directing the conversation. It's how you keep it on the mind. It's important. It works over time. And then people just accept it.
Yes.
That's how it works.
We're going to get to 60 tonight. I haven't even given away our 50. I was supposed to give away a disc at 50 members, and I haven't yet. And we're going to get to 60.
You did. You gave two. You gave riffs to Robin and I.
Is that
oh,
is that all
Thank
the questions?
That is all of the question. I want
wow, quite the creative bunch.
I want DGA holes to replace General, and we will welcome all the new Bowie boys. What do you guys think? Yes or no?
Sure.
I love
well,
how quick Rob was like, all right,
fine. Everybody's gonna wake up to Slack tomorrow morning. Where did General go? Wait, what is Bowie?
Well, here's,
like
the, here's the shit. There's
How
not
long
a monetary value on our Slack group, so it's like...
There should be.
We can't even get pissed and be like, you owe us this. Cause,
yeah, know, right.
It's just
like, I'll give you
thing.
$10 right now to change General to Bowie Boys. And you can't qualify that. Like, that might be what it's worth.
Oh, no, Robin's expensive. Robin is expensive. Me?
I've heard
sure.
that.
Give me $10. Robin, he'll take you to the ringers. I'm the one with the business degree, but he'll take care of the real business.
You don't have it. You're 3 credits away from an economics degree. Don't try and be all educated with us. We know where you've come short.
Well, yeah, no, I was 3 credits away from a minor in economics to go on top of my business degree.
Whoa. Wow, he really is smart. Oh, and there's a little ASMR thrown in for you.
I was 13 years ago at this point. I don't know anymore.
So anyway, there you go. There's the answers from
the
all the comments from DGA Holes on Slack.
We appreciate it. Thank you, DGA Holes and Bowie Boys everywhere. So I think we have to explain Bowie Boys to the people listening. So DGA famously names all of their discs after ocean stuff.
Yeah, like
ocean
coastal.
Stuff.
It's like a coastal theme.
Let's yeah, it's a, yeah. That's probably a better
work,
way
work
to put
a little
it. But
bit, like make it sound kind of classy.
If only we had someone from DGA that maybe had a role in marketing or something that could really like set us on the right track with said.
Well, I was things. Worried because you know sometimes Tyler can be a little beachy, and I didn't want to.
Hey,
you know.
This guy.
Hey. Puns.
But so anyways, they decided that the DGA fans should be called Bowie Boys, as in the ocean thing that like floats in the ocean with the ocean stuff.
Yes.
It's called a buoy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a technical description.
So as the marketing manager for DGA, who lives in Kansas.
Wichita, Kansas. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the ocean?
Yeah, so no, I have. But it was funny. I got to go visit DGA last summer, and he was like, are you going to like, you want to go to the ocean or something? Like, you know, like you're from Kansas. Guess, like, do you want to go to the ocean? I was like, actually, I would just for the Instagram post. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. So I recorded a 20-second clip of me walking out on the beach and splatting my foot in the water. And then we just walked off. I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. And he's like laughing, like, seriously, is that all? I'm like, no, I got it for the gram. Like, that's all. I don't want to like swim in it or anything. There's sharks in there.
There's
exactly. Why do you hate the ocean? Sharks, I guess.
Sharks.
Okay. All
right. 100%. I am like legit afraid of sharks.
And jellyfish.
Is that like
not afraid of jellyfish because I don't understand. I think if I knew more about him, I'd be scared of him.
I think if there was an Innovidus called the jellyfish, he'd be more upset about it. But mostly he just hates sharks because of, you know.
This is pre-show, right? So I can say whatever I want about Innova. Is that true or not true?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely the pre-show.
And speaking of Innova, they just extended 5 players in the last couple of days.
Good for them. Yeah. The only thing they can extend better than utilizing every single name in the Animal Kingdom for a disc mold is their player contracts.
They also have some discs named after boats. So.
Oh, wow. They threw some boats. Wait, seriously?
And
what?
And sports cars. Oh, sorry.
That's
no,
like,
come on.
That's like our boats. Thing. Boats. They got boats?
You didn't know that the Corvette was a boat? I mean, come on,
okay,
everybody
okay.
knows.
Wait, is it also an animal of some kind?
No, it's a sports car.
No.
I mean,
no.
Sorry,
what?
A boat.
It's
boat.
What the heck? That's so off theme for them.
I know. It was very strange. It was very strange. It's almost like they were capitalizing on a name brand of a sports car.
I mean, we all know that the Starfire is the, you know, the animal in the Andes with the...
Yeah.
Well, you know. We all know about that
and
animal.
Yeah, that animal.
The Vulcan is trunks. The Vulcan's like a Spock thing, right? Is that a Star Trek?
The Vulcan is the animal. It's on a different planet. You know, we don't know much about it, but we know that it's an animal. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah, Destroyer.
Anyway,
So they're not all animal names.
No, no, some are boats.
Okay,
and you know, but nonetheless, Sexton, their brand ambassador and
team captain.
Team captain and just all around swell guy.
Mm-hmm. Swell.
Gentle. Yeah, surely
swell.
A gentle lover.
I don't know about
swell, not swell.
Great, great, great man. Swell is not
okay.
A way that you would describe a Nate Sex. I mean, in my opinion, I could be very wrong. I'm going to just stop talking.
Okay.
Yeah. Greg Barsby, also Joe. Would you like to describe his physical appearance
swole?
Or in any way?
Swole, not swole.
I mean, I feel like his name just kind of describes him really well. It's great, Greg Barsby.
In reality, Joe messed it up because I was trying to make another beach pun with like a swell, but you know, it's nobody
no.
got it. It was just
sorry.
Yeah, don't blame me for your poor your poor joke.
And then Evelina Salonen and Hanna Blomroos, the I believe they're both
solid
Finnish, right?
extensions, super
I
solid
so.
Extensions.
That's
so,
really exciting.
That's awesome. And then Garrett Gerthy as well. So.
Nice. Congrats to them.
And then the last one that I think everyone cares about probably the most, because I think everyone pretty much thought most of those were going to stick around with Innova, is that James Conrad still...
TBD.
Hunting around.
Yeah, not re-signed yet.
Not re-signed yet, so.
Insider knowledge.
I think
Mint Discs has just... No.
Let's go.
Is Mint Discs the one that has the Magnolia?
No, that's AGL.
No.
Wow, what the heck? Okay, so somebody in DGA Holes was talking about the Magnolia today, and I was like, Mint Discs is the only company that I don't know like anything about, and I've never heard that disc name before, so I'll bet you it's a Mint Disc.
So let's get crazy. I believe AGL, I could be wrong, I believe AGL is molded by Discraft.
Whoa, you'd think I would have like...
Right, I'm just saying that. And
you'd like bumped and, into them like on the and, way to the factory, you and, know, like they're walking out, I'm walking in.
Right. And you're like, oh, we should be best
like,
friends.
Are you like,
but I don't know, but
do
I
you
don't
want to get coffee or something.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I think that's correct.
No, we can't prove it. So you're not
right. See, you're catching on. Whereas Mint discs and Thought Space discs, I'm pretty positive, are molded by MVP Axiom.
Thought Space, like Thought Space Athletics, they have a disc line now?
Oh, have you not? Mm-hmm. Oh, listen, their stamps are fire. I haven't thrown a single disc of theirs, but their stamps are fire.
They did the artwork for our tour series this year, and they did a fantastic job.
Yeah, no, they are very, very skilled.
By the time, when is this going to come out? The next couple days? When is this going to drop? Ish.
Probably tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay. Well, then I probably can't tell you. I could wait.
Listen, I could hold it a few days if you got something to drop.
No, the people, we didn't do an episode last week.
Well, yeah, if you got something cool to drop, I can hold it.
No. It's just like something we've been waiting on for a while, and it's the 2022 series pipeline. Like, it's on its way. Gonna drop soon.
Sweet.
Yeah, and it's got art.
And Thought Space Athletics did the artwork.
And it's super cool.
Nice. We need some pipelines, Tyler. That's gonna be great. I think our pipeline was broken that we reviewed. Just saying. I've heard from reputable sources that ours was much more flippy than what pipeline.
Which one did you have? Did you have like an old SP or something?
It was a Proline one. I want to say
roller
and it was it was secondhand, so it could have been thrown a little bit, or could have been. It looked like it was in pretty good shape, but you never know. Maybe it sat in someone's car or something like that, and. It got a little weird, but it was extremely flippy, and a bunch of people.
A little weird.
Hey, happens. It gets hot in cars. You get a little sweaty. Yep. Things get moist, and suddenly you're doing.
It's fine.
I think there's a Cisco song about it.
But roller out of the hand does not sound right for the pipeline for sure. Especially, I mean, maybe after 6 months of throwing it, you throw it flat, and you could get a good. Roller with the pipeline, but right at first, flat will get you a good Anheuser flight, or Heiser will get you that dead straight flight that everybody talks about with the pipeline.
Mm. Yeah. So back to Conrad. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that, do you think there's any chance of Conrad returning to Innova, or do you guys think that this is, he's probably still talking to Innova? We know he's talking to other disc golf companies.
Did I not tell you
well.
He's on our team? Like confirmed officially.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry, I forgot to tell you. Oh wait, I'm actually not supposed to say that. Dang it.
Confirmed.
Hey, remember Monday afternoon when I'm fired? Yeah, well, I'm like for sure fired now.
Well, Tyler, thanks for coming to the office this morning. It started with the comment about not knowing that disc golf was a professional sport.
Yes, yes.
You know, we could have
overlooked.
We could have
let
that go.
Yeah, we really would have appreciated you understanding that, but like, it's fine. You've done a great job
working against you. Your overall lack of work ethic, good idea, and the presence of anything good for our company in the last year you've been with us are all kind of pointing towards maybe us going different directions.
We also saw you stream with a gentleman who had a beard that was better. Far superior.
So we're going to call him, see if he can be our new video guy.
I'm busy. I can't do that. No.
After all that.
I'm busy that day.
Oh, man.
All right. So neither of you answered the question.
I'm so sorry. What was the question?
Yeah,
I cannot.
I'm happy
okay.
I'm not the only one. Oh, we're doing our job, Robin. We're getting him rolling through that.
Is Conrad for sure gone from Innova?
So. I hope
or,
so. Here's my hot take.
Would you put the odds that
my
he returns?
Take, I hope so.
Why is
I
that?
I just feel like he can help build a brand somewhere. He has his own brand, that hair. I mean, selfishly, I hate the Conrad AVR stamps. I think they're trash. I want him to bring his like flair somewhere else. He's just a rad dude that I think could bring. I feel like there are just more brands that are maybe open to.
Yeah, but what if he goes to like Discraft? He's not building a brand at Discraft. No. He's just joining the empire at that point.
That's an interesting take.
Listen, I'll tell you where I want him to go. Aside from DGA, obviously I want him to go to DGA.
Yeah, he's definitely doing that.
If for some reason that falls through last minute because he wanted a mini horse and you can make that happen.
Even though I told you like that's 100% happening, like for sure. But go on, just hypothetical.
I would love for Conrad to roll to MVP Axiom Streamline.
Well, clearly Tyler doesn't like that.
Why would he do that?
Listen, I think that's good. I think that's a good take because he deserves to be with a company that has consistent nomenclature for their discs.
He also he deserves to be the dude though. He deserves to be the dude in a brand.
I could see that.
He deserves to be like the player that is noteworthy on a team.
I could totally see him staying with Innova, but
I could see Conrad really not caring about being the dude on a brand.
That's exactly why I was thinking of him staying with Innova. I'm like, I could also see him like, just like, I just want to play disc golf, you know?
Yeah. I just want to keep throwing AVRs for the rest of my life.
That I've beat in perfectly and I know exactly what they all do.
Did you say peed in perfectly?
Yeah. You don't pee on your disc?
Is that a thing? Like, does that help the flight? I will do it. I will do it right now.
Oh shit! I've been doing
well, if your disc gets stung by a jellyfish, you should pee on it.
Okay. Wow. I don't. No. There's so many coastal things I don't know about.
If your D gets stung by a jellyfish,
how do you pee on your D? That doesn't. Well, how big? How? Never
mind. Depends on your D.
Anyways, what I was getting at that I
pee on your D because of the jellyfish. Okay.
T-shirt. Goodness I called gracious. It. I'm making the money off this.
What I was getting at is that I think a lot of people are seeing that and thinking that Conrad's going, and I still think there's probably, I call it like 50-50. And I don't think Conrad cares about being the dude.
I think it's 70-30 to Innova, to be totally honest.
Oh, yeah, really? Okay.
I don't want it to be, but I think it is.
And you think he deserves to be the dude. Joe's take isn't necessarily that he wants to be, more just like, wouldn't that be awesome if he was? Like, he deserves that because he's such a solid guy.
He is to disc golf what fish is to modern rock.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, sorry. I know fish and like the weird spelling of their name. And I've watched like 25 seconds of one of their concerts on YouTube. And I was like, yeah, I'm not into that.
Oh, you guys are so... I'm not that into fish either, but I'm saying like... He's got a following.
Joe,
got a following.
Ask me to name a fish song, Joe.
I couldn't either, to be totally honest. I couldn't either. I'm being 100% honest.
Oh, come on.
I don't like jam band shit, to be totally
honest. Well, I was going to say, aren't they like, but they're one of those bands who plays, they're one of those bands who plays songs for like 47 minutes.
Exactly.
And they just kind of put a name on a song. Like, this section of the night
right.
was this song.
And if it's not Primus or Les Claypool, I don't care about that shit. That's my own thing.
We're angering so many people now. Before this happened, there was at least one person that presumably liked fish of the three of us. And now it's just come out that two of us have no idea anything about it and Joe hates them.
Trey Anastasio is a great guitar player. Listen, I know enough. They're good. I don't like jam bands. It's my personal preference. They're great at it. They're great musicians. Just not my thing. Anyways,
are you guys?
My whole
listen,
point
Joe. I would love
James Conrad has, at this point, for someone who is a free agent, quote unquote, probably has like the best cult following aside from Ezra, which I'm sure we might get into after this. But he's unbranded, so it's a kind of a whole different world. But
it's
going
to be crazy having him and James on our team this year. Like, it'll be interesting to see which one kind of, you know, rises to the top.
I've also heard stories about Conrad crushing.
I'm so
MVP
sorry. I wasn't supposed to say that either.
you just keep doing it. You get a little bit of liquor in Tyler.
But luckily, I haven't told you guys about Paul yet. So I'm definitely keeping that one under the lid.
We've heard for years that these DG contracts are the opposite of airtight, and that people can just
basically.
By the way, leave. Tyler's talking about Paul Smith. He's this 14-year-old out of Wichita. He's coming up. Sorry.
It's going to rock the disc golf world, and I don't want to deliver it here. I mean, of all places, obviously, apologies. I want to do that on Twitter or something. Gosh.
There has to be a million Paul Smiths.
Oh, yeah. Why do you think I went with Smith? Come on. Nailed that shit. Guarantee in your local league, if there's more than 150 players, there's a Paul Smith there.
Definitely. All right. So any last thoughts on Conrad,
about
you guys?
That, Tyler.
No, I was just actually trying to do what Joe's trying to do. I was like, wait, what were we talking about?
I love that we got a little booze in Tyler, and he's right on our level. And I love it. That's my favorite thing of this podcast.
I can't track this back to the original topic.
That's why I'm here.
Thank you
for you guys.
Thanks, Kevin.
We were talking. it's actually really easy to track when you sit back and listen to people and then respond to what they say rather than just thinking about what you're going to say next the entire time when other people
Tyler,
are talking.
Why do you think I hired a Robin for this podcast?
I was going to say Robin's just the guy throwing the balls of yarn, and then Joe and I are just chasing them around.
And then sometimes I get a few balls of yarn from who knows where, and I throw those into you, and it's all fucked.
Okay, so Robin, what's the next yarn ball?
Well, I'm actually going to watch you guys fight over a bottle cap instead of a yarn ball for this one.
Because
that's what I have at hand.
I just dropped mine. Dang it.
There's a leaf outside the sliding glass door window that you guys have been watching blow around in the wind, too.
I'd win that fight just because I feel like I outweigh Tyler by like a whole bunch, and I just hug him and fall down and win.
Well, yeah, but there's the sliding glass window.
My head would just go right through it. We'll be fine.
Of course, yeah. You're stronger than the window.
You could just say my content isn't funny, and I'll just crumple. I'll just fold up and cry.
That'll never happen, Tyler. That'll never happen.
Oh, okay, thanks.
So before we get to our deer review, I do quickly want to touch on the ESPN2 Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship coverage. I didn't watch all of it, but I watched a good portion of it, and I feel like they did an excellent job. Both Nate Sexton and Jeremy Kohling did the commentary, and they did a nice job of both explaining to people what the professional sport of disc golf is, which I feel like maybe, Tyler, now you should go back and watch, just for quick, references to some of the things that the sport is
doing.
Well,
now you ruined my shtick, because I was going to go in on like, wow, I'm really surprised as a media mogul, kind of a somewhat of a celebrity and spokesperson for the sport, that you didn't watch the whole thing. In fact, I'm a little bit disappointed to hear that. So wow.
No, it's true. But I had actually, already watched the whole Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship, because, it happened like a while ago.
What?
So like, I did.
No, I did watch that one, but no, I didn't watch the. I didn't watch the ESPN2 coverage.
But yeah, at a certain point, it's like, I appreciate them explaining to the masses what disc golf is, but I don't need that. I prefer the original coverage, dramatically. But I did really appreciate that they showed the women and gave the women like pretty much equal standing in the entire thing, as opposed to what the Dynamic Disc Open did with their CBS Sports telecast that basically didn't even, you wouldn't have known women can play the sport from that one. So I did appreciate that, and I thought it was very smooth. I thought it was a much better broadcast, and I feel like, I can't prove this, I'm sure I could look it up, but I feel like ESPN2 reached more people than the CBS broadcast did, because I did have more people messaging me like, bro, disc golf's on ESPN.
So I think something they did too, and I apologize, I stepped away for a moment, if you already said this, something when the DDO stuff came on CBS, I think we talked about very quick off the bat, was the hope that they would give kind of like the background story, like do the how did you get in the sport kind of thing, which they may have in the very first episode of that. Rob and I notoriously did not see the first episode of the CBS DDO stuff. But I did love that ESPN2 kind of sprinkled in like the bios of the players and had them talk about them growing up and how they got into disc golf and how they've pushed themselves to be in the places they are. I think that's huge for disc golf. Especially you take like a Kevin Jones who came from a football background and soccer, and like most of them came from other sports and decided to get into this and focus. I just like that giving a background story of how they got to where they are and what's pushing them. That's great. Like, that's why I love watching like NFL films and stuff when I was a kid growing up, was you get way more story. And I think they did a really good job giving that background.
Will it be up somewhere at some point, or is it just gone forever?
I don't know.
I recorded it on one of our
$45. We'll send it to you, Tyler.
Done.
But I don't know where you would find it if you didn't record it.
You send us two riffs, and we'll get you that video.
Best $45 I've ever spent for something I'm gonna like scrub through and watch like maybe 11 minutes of.
It's gonna be great. Joe is gonna put his phone on a tripod.
Tripod. What's that new technology? I want that. I don't know what that is, but I'm into it.
You've heard of the iPad?
It's for a disc golf.
It's a triangular iPad.
It's for a disc golf hole that likes to go in three directions, and so it needs a tripod.
You get three tripods, and you get the Triforce pad.
But he's just going to set his phone up in front of the screen on a tripod and record it there, and then text it to you. It's going to take a week to deliver, but
it's worth it though. It's worth it for the 11 minutes you'll watch of it. It'll take you 18 hours to download it to watch your 11 minutes.
So help me, I've been trying to send a video that I recorded on my Oculus Quest. I'm into VR now. Like, that's
show
like
right here.
So fun. Oh, it's not around here. So fun. There's some disc golf games on it too. Anyway, I found a forklift simulator for $3 on Black Friday, which that's a pretty special value, you know, for a game of this quality. And I've been playing it, you know, a lot. And as you can imagine, it's driving a forklift around a warehouse and moving crates and pallets from one section to the other. And I've just found it fascinating. And my brother-in-law was like, you know, like, you bought that game. Some people get paid to do that. Like, they pay you money to do that if you want to go find that job. And here you're paying money to do that in virtual reality. It's kind of like slapping the blue-collar workers of America in the face sort of a thing.
I'm sure someone has some company has drone forklifts that are operated by a bunch of dudes in VR situations. It's got to be true.
No,
I mean, if it's not, I don't accept the world.
No. You can't prove it.
Prove it, Joe.
Oh, but I recorded like 3.5 minutes for my cousin who actually has a forklift in a warehouse. And I was trying to send it to him like, dude, you need to get these and train your employees, you know, in VR. And I've been trying to share it with him via Google Drive, and it hasn't gone well, you know, for the last couple of days.
So, like, you failed miserably and
three and a half minutes in, all of a sudden it says game over, and I'm like, what the heck? And I'm looking around, I'm like, oh, I just backed up into the back wall of the warehouse, you know, and I totally thought that I had like 20 feet of clearance. So better to learn that in VR than, you know, messing up somebody's warehouse in real life.
Yeah. Do they have OSHA complaints? Did suddenly you lose points because
this guy in a suit with a clipboard shows up and
you have to pay more money to the simulator.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, Black Friday special. You can get in for $3, but if you mess up the warehouse, you owe us $250. So
hey, before we move on, because this will be the last time I think to really bring it up, because I think next episode might be too late. Jomez put out a video of like the highlights of Kohling and Ulibarri playing practice rounds together. Did anybody watch that? Did either of you watch that?
Negatory.
Oh my god. Okay, then we'll leave it there. It's a must watch.
Why is Yuli like my favorite disc golf personality right now?
Because you feel like you could be him.
Nope, I don't.
Nope. Yeah, that's not.
I feel like
because he has a sexy body.
maybe. I feel like I'm probably closer to a Nate Sexton than a Paul Ulibarri, which I think I've always like huge gravitated towards Nate. I totally view him as the fun. He is like very well. I gotta stop talking about this because now you're just gonna
this
know
is good
because
actually
about
I want to dive deeper.
I'm not
in
ready
this.
For that level of vulnerability.
No, you're
with
fine.
You guys. And no, but anyway, yeah, always consider myself more of a Nate Sexton. But the last few months, I'm like, can't get enough of Paul Ulibarri content. It's like, he's so awesome and his stuff is so funny.
Robin, who's the disc golfer that you feel like you relate to the most?
Brody Smith.
Weema? No,
probably in terms Weema. Of actual play.
Pros, not Weema.
No, your personality.
Oh, okay. What? Well, I mean, he plays in tournaments,
that.
So it's
answer my real question.
Robin Weema.
Probably Drew Gibson, probably. That'd
yeah,
be,
okay.
It'd be pretty close.
I could see that.
You know, like, we both like tattoos and
shoes.
Shut
the fuck up.
Shoes.
Get out of here. Fucking.
I just.
God damn it.
Hey, please be honest.
Please be honest, Robin.
Drew and I are good friends.
I know you
I
are.
I cannot participate in any Groot
slander
on I cannot I absolve myself of this.
That's fine.
I just said I thought I was similar.
Robin,
I don't know where
we
you
know what
no, let's
you
be honest
said.
Let's be honest. Tyler honestly said Nate. Robin, I want to know yours and then I'll give mine.
I honestly have never thought about it. I don't have any real
okay that's
clue.
Definitely Barry Schultz then totally
I... yeah I like
typical
actually, Barry Schultz is good. I like
probably
that.
A five on that's the Enneagram. It, am I right, guys? did Joe just fall asleep, or is he having like a
big brain moment? I'm actually hoping Robin figures out who he is while I slowly figure out who the fuck mine is.
Joe is clearly Johnny McRae because he loves Turbo Putts
okay.
and has a beard, and that's there's really nothing else. It's really
I love QAnon.
oh,
so,
I just
I mean,
learned
really,
the saying, the we go one, we all go
whatever,
one,
whatever.
All for one, and one for all, and all for one.
Yeah, the three
acronym. I learned it. You can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So, yeah, no, I have no idea, Joe. Let's see. Player that I like that throws good. That is not like really good, but is kind of good and enjoys minutia, sarcasm, and Star Wars. I
like
don't know.
Andrew Fish. Like, I don't know him well enough.
Sure.
I, feel like
I love
wants
it. I love Andrew Fish.
Who's someone? So who's someone? Tyler, you might be able with this. Robin might be able to jump in. Robin.
This was a fantastic tangent show,
up,
by the way.
Fine.
Thank you.
Totally
no,
fine.
It's good.
So thank Robin, for... when we play Robin, he'll start out fine. Robin's back nine is always so money. Like he turns it on at the end. Any round that I play with Robin, I will get like a 3-stroke lead. If I get a lead, it's in the front nine. If I don't get a lead in the front nine, the round's over. But I'll get a lead in the front nine, and we'll get to the back nine, and all of a sudden, all the putts drop. All the drives drop, he's nails for the final nine, and all of a sudden he'll make up like a 5-stroke difference. Who's a player who turns it on?
Paul McBeth, of
I think
of
it's hilarious right, that Joe attributes that to Robin being a good closer and nothing to do with the fact that Joe gets progressively more drunk throughout the round and starts to play.
Oh, that's 100%
worse.
True. You can listen back. I've said that. Like, I've been very, very honest about that.
Let
yeah.
me shock you with the knowledge that maybe Robin is just kind of playing a normal round and you are actually just getting worse on the back nine.
No. Definitely gets better and I get worse. Like they converge for sure.
So clearly you're going Dickerson, right? That's what you were going with.
Oh
that?
No, but that's perfect. That is actually
yeah, that is
especially
true.
Since I
yeah, that's pretty good.
I enjoy D talk as well. So yeah. That's you know.
Robin's Chris Dickerson and Joe is Johnny McRae.
I think we have to stick with Johnny
no,
McRae.
I'll tell you who I think
I
am, and you can shit on me if you think.
Okay, all right. Nico.
Exactly.
Johnny McRae.
Nico Nico.
You were going to say Nico?
I was going to say Nico because I do stupid shit, and sometimes it works really well, and sometimes it's awful. And sometimes around is rad because I like try and do something way dumb that shouldn't work, and sometimes it does. Obviously, Nico, it works out far more often than it does for me.
Yeah, but you don't like confrontation, and Nico very much.
Oh, I hate it. Robin loves confrontation.
So I just don't see that. I think Johnny McRae is better.
Up.
Plus,
Stop
I think you guys would get along.
Stop with
it.
No,
it works.
Not.
What if Johnny McRae and Nico like started to mentor a young child, you know, and like maybe 30 years later, there's a professional disc golfer.
His name's Drew Gibson.
And that person is Joe.
It's kind of
the byproduct of, you know, you mix them in a non-sexual way.
No, Robin's my disc golf papa.
Daddy.
No, I don't want to say that. That's why I said papa. Hell no. Hell no.
Joe, Robin, we need another ball of yarn, man.
Hard pass. No, listen.
All right, Robin, guys. Here we go.
For sure.
It is time for our world-famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should be on the course. Tonight, we have the DGA Rift, a 5-speed, 4-glide, -1 turn, 1.5 fade, mid-range disc, and we are pairing that with Maui Wowie by Altamont Brewing Company, which is 6.5% single malt IPA. They used Mosaic, Citra. Yeah, just Mosaic and Citra. And yeah, good times. This is out of Livermore, California. If you can get Altamont beers, please do it. It's
Livermore?
Great brewery.
Yep. Like if you're drinking too much, you should try and appreciate your liver more.
Wow, way to just shit on the name of a town. But
no, it's like a health thing. It's a you know, positive. I've got my rifts, by the way. I brought my bag down here so we could talk about the rift.
Yeah. Can you talk about the before we'll start with the rift? I think that's a great place. But can you talk about the differences in the plastic lines on each one? Because it looks like you've got three different.
Well, kind of. I mean, this is Proline Swirl technically, which, you know, Discraft Swirl game is definitely on point. And we've got our little DGA icon ghost stamp. Can you guys see that? Is that coming through in the light there?
Yep. Thanks for sending us discs like that.
Oh, I specifically told KG to not send you anything nice. Did he send you something nice? I'm going to have a talk with him.
He actually did.
I mean, it looks okay.
Great. Well, Proline Swirl, and then this is just one of the original protos. This was actually the first rift that I ever got over a year ago, and it's just beat in really nice for me right now. But these are essentially the same flight.
Is Rift a newer disc?
Yeah. So back to the beginning, the first month that I worked for DGA, we came out with the Rift, and they sent me a whole stack of discs just to get familiar with our line. And I remember thinking, geez, I love the flight of a Squall, but I wish there was something that felt more like a buzz, because that's what I was throwing at the time. And then less than, you know, just a few weeks into that, they sent me a proto rift. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like the perfect disc. I mean, honestly, not to put too fine of a point on it. And I'm not just fanboying, but I have been
Tyler's
in love with the rift for over a year. It's just I'm surprised that there's only three in my this is my active bag right now, and there's only three. I'm like, wow, what am I doing?
You had to avoid creating a rift with your other discs.
There you go.
You couldn't do that.
In terms of the plastic, there is the Proline, which is kind of the typical one. The Proline Swirl flies a lot the same. This is a Glow Rift. So there's Glow Rifts that exist, and they are just a tick more overstable, but pretty similar. And then there is a Proline Flex Rift.
Which is what we have.
Oh, you guys got the Flex?
It just says
no,
PL
just
on it.
Proline.
But but it's translucent, not like the other Prolines.
Yeah, I mean, they came out a little soapy, but no, that's just typical Proline. The only ones that we've done flex were for a disc member. We did a really limited order for a disc member, and they're like, they're like really, you know, like really flexy, really
flexible.
I have no idea where we got the name from, but yeah, no, they are flexible.
Yeah.
And they're just a tick understable compared to the main run.
Got it. So, this disc, for whatever reason, and sometimes I come into a field session with a preconceived notion of the disc, and I was expecting it to be more stable than it is, and was pretty pleasantly surprised that it was understable, because it resulted in getting some nice lines and some pretty good distance out
of it. You didn't read the 3-page dissertation that I sent you about the Flight of the Rift before? I
don't read any. Even the DMs were lucky if I skim it.
Well, you know how to read?
But
show off.
But I would liken the Rift to like one of my more beat in buzzes. It's like it's like some of my oldest ones that are beat in. Like I have titanium one that is actually no longer bag it because it got a little too understable, but it's not quite there, but it's definitely, it'll give you some turn and some good glide and some sneaky distance. You definitely want to hit it flat to get your best results, or a little bit of hyzer for a hyzer flip.
I think Tyler nailed it when you described it, maybe to me or both of us. I think nailed it. I know you're going to jump in. I will
take it.
Start with, I'll tell you what it was, and then I'll give you my reasoning. You said it's the perfect in between of a Buzz and a Buzz SS.
Yes. I've colloquially referred to it as the Buzz S.
Right. And I've never thrown a Buzz SS, but everything I've heard, read, seen, it's a understable like turnover. And this is exactly what you said. And I have a very nice beat up TI Buzz that I just got back, by the way. Christina, thank you so much for getting it back to me so quick. And
thanks,
I threw
Christina.
That in the field with this disc. And that's a buzz that I thought I beat up enough that I could have a nice simple turnover. And I got to juice it and probably put a little Annie. So I threw them back to back, and my buzz was still just laser straight. And the Rift was exactly what Robin said, just this beautiful, slow, nice turnover. Not a hard turn, like just if you wanted to go 20 feet to the right of that laser straight and just land right there, that's what this did.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was red. It's,
the Buzz S is a good description. I've heard some people say it's a 6-month buzz, and I think that's a good description too. Like if you get a ESP buzz and you like play with it, you know, multiple times a week for a full season, it's gonna be like this right off, but you can get that right off the shelf, you know, with the Rift. And that is, for my arm speed in a mid-range, it is just like so picture perfect.
Tyler throws 650, by the way,
for my arm speed, which is unprecedented in the disc golf world. It is picture perfect. One finger grip, 20% power, dead straight.
What do you throw? So Rob and I, for a long time, have kind of like broken down what we throw distance wise, kind of like, you know, where things land and our, you know, max distance drivers, blah, blah. If you want to just give a little representation, just your mids, like where those usually land, whatnot.
I've usually said that I'm a mid-level arm speed. That's what I normally like in our videos and stuff. I am like total middle of the road. I can throw 400 and something if I was out there with a stack of drivers and the right wind conditions. But like on a golf course, I'm throwing 300 to 350. You know, those are like those. That's the farthest that I can throw with like that I would want to throw.
Consistency, yeah,
consistently. And we talked about my sidearm earlier in the pre-show, where like I really just want a 300-foot sidearm would be. You know something I will say, though? I've got a really great thumber. You've probably heard that.
I have.
You have. It's going around. And I've always worked on that, and I've got a good overhand game. But no, just absolutely middle of the road. I'm not a noodle arm. I'm not a crusher. You know, I'm just like most of us who played for 10 years.
Well, just some quick advice from a friend of the show, Jeff Faze. Don't get super into paddle ball or pickleball.
Interesting.
He tore his labrum doing that, so he can't throw overhands anymore.
I'm sorry. He tore his what?
I have a torn labrum also, so I can't throw overhands.
This is super important. Ball of yarn to be chasing right labrum. Now.
Anyways, but move forward. It's a muscle in your shoulder.
Let me tell you about what I use the Rift for.
I like it.
Because
go for it.
I can throw the Rift 100% on about 20 degrees, and it's going to come up and just ride to the right. Right. So again, for mm-hmm. mid-level arm speeds. But what I'm finding, what I'm using it for lately is an 80% on 25 to 30 degrees of hyzer. And I was talking mm-hmm. with a teammate of mine the other day. I was like, I have stopped, and this is like way meta, guys. So get ready for this. But I'm like, I have stopped throwing the Rift because I found myself like putting too much on it. I have started to mm-hmm. just like get the Rift on the right angle, and then I just let it go. And it just on 80% power for me, it just comes up to straight and it just does not move.
Yeah, it's
for
got
about
glide.
300
it's
feet.
It's got money glide for sure.
And then it just sits right there, and like, oh my gosh, that is such a valuable disc to have.
Yeah. I totally agree, and it's a great disc to power down just a little bit on that line because you can get it to you've got the glide. You don't need to overpower
exactly.
it. So let the disc do the work for you, and you know, just put it on the right line, and it'll stick. It's not going to fade hard no matter what you
nope.
do. So it's unless you're throwing it 180 feet or something sub 200. Is where you would see fade, in my opinion.
Yep, which you shouldn't.
And
be.
Maybe
yeah,
not.
Right.
Maybe we're talking 150.
You need a breaker.
Like that,
you need a breaker in your bag for that shot. But that's a different episode. Yeah.
Yes, we already did that episode.
Oh,
it was
dang!
Like one of our first. Ones.
I wish I was here.
Yeah,
we both bagged.
It was.
You should.
All right, you Joe, you ready to talk beer? And then Tyler, I took the liberty of giving your beer a Google like an hour ago, since it was clear you hadn't done any legwork on it. And it's an Imperial Rye Ale, aged in whiskey barrels with cherry added, hence the Manhattan Social Club. So the Manhattan being a rye whiskey drink that has cherries in it typically, and Italian vermouth. It's actually one of my favorite cocktails.
Yep.
But that's where that beer is meant to be. So give you that cherry flavor. And obviously, what was it? It was like 11%?
12.5. Was there a warning on there that says like not for lightweights? Do not use if you are going to be smart on a podcast.
That's basically
very
any beer
so.
That has a percentage
it.
On it like is probably not for lightweights.
So it sounds like a delicious Imperial rye ale that you got
it
there
is really
with some notes
it's so
notes of cherry, probably some spices.
I can't taste anything anymore, but I will say it's so delicious that I can't stop drinking it, and I am concerned. I believe I'm
so
an
is
alcoholic
the taste,
now
is the taste issue so the taste issue is alcohol based, not Rona, right? It's you
correct.
Okay, good. I was just checking.
I do have but coronavirus unless. But I mean, that's not.
Would you?
It's
I mean,
a separate.
Just to finish up your beer, because we're going.
Yeah.
Would you take this on the course with you?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
That would be a terrible decision. I would not make it past hole four. I actually have only taken a beer on the course like maybe two or three times, and I'm not like a Nate Sexton. Like I enjoy a good beer, but I just. Like when I play disc golf, I really do like to think about the game and like get better and think about my lines and my shots. And I'm really not fun and funny and, you know, like don't get the wrong idea. A lot of guys play disc golf to have fun. I like really want to get better at disc golf. So sad fact about me.
It's not sad.
I should drink more. That's what I'm saying.
I think we all want to get better, but this helps.
At drinking. Okay.
So, Joe, you and I have Maui Wowie by Altamont Brewing Company, a 6.5% American IPA with Mosaic and Citra hops. I think those things that I just said would describe a huge percentage of IPAs out there, so not exactly distinguishing. And I think that's, I mean, this is a good beer. It's nice and smooth. It's got a little bit of a malty flavor to it. Not crazy, but it is a single malt IPA, so it does have a little bit of that, little bit of a dry finish. But of course, you're getting your usual kind of pineapple and exactly. and kind of citra type flavors from it. So
and that's right. Yep.
It's just, this is a very smooth 6.5% IPA. I got it's not. There's nothing that is distinguishable, like distinguishing about it that makes it stand out flavor wise. I think from the class, but it's very good and it's very smooth. And the 6.5 gets you above the Joe threshold.
Well, what's the Joe line?
6% yeah. is the beers he Close doesn't one. Care about are below 6%.
Yeah. Man, we just barely made it.
Like they're not worth the calories to him. In his mind, if it's
below 6%. Is that kind of like your zero Celsius? So this is basically like a 0.5% beer to you?
Yes, and I'll even say that there have been beers that I really like that are lower. But for the most part, like even 6% has become like a moot point where I don't care about it as much. It's like it's probably moved up to like 7.5, to be totally honest.
I was about to say I think Joe's wheelhouse is like 7.8 to 8.5. It's like
it really where... if I'm going to buy a beer, if I go and I see a cool four pack on the shelf, we've got lots of like great beer in our area and good places to buy like good beer. Like if I see something pretty much under 7.5, unless I hear about it or the description sounds really good, I don't even mess with that. It's pretty much like 7.5 plus. But I've had a good amount of this. This is on tap locally a lot. It's a super smooth, great beer. It's not a super haze beer, which we're seeing a lot of, which I do enjoy. But it's a nice, just clean, refreshing. It's still tropical. Yeah, that pineapple comes through a ton. But it's super easy drinking, tastes great. It takes care of me.
Here's my problem with it. I feel like Maui Wowie
You've never
is
had
something
it, but go ahead.
That, well, this is my, it's a branding issue. It's not something that... somebody, I wouldn't have it on tap at my bar because it's not something that people
you hate
could
Hawaiians. Wow.
Order
wow.
without, I mean, like you want something like kind of cool, you know, like you can order, that's why you go to a bar, you know, you want to like look cool in front of your friends. At least that's what my pastor said. So you can't order Maui Wowie and like be cool about it. You know, it's going to be like, you're going to have to like say it in a voice. You're going to have to be like, hey, can I have like some Maui Wow? You know, you're going to have to overdo it. You can't just like chill play
Tyler,
Maui Wowie.
Your white is coming through so hard.
Well, listen, I've watched several movies that have bar scenes. And so I feel like I am pretty educated about it. And
I mean, it's true. The beer he picked, the Manhattan Social Club. So
it was Tyler picked is for him. Picked, but yeah.
I'm not sure was. Tyler's at
that's true.
He may not have ever actually been to a bar, but he's picturing it as like this dimly lit place where everyone wears top hats. I'm thinking.
No.
And
no.
There's some fedoras.
That's a nightclub. The bars are the ones, they all have pool tables exclusively. And mm-hmm. loose characters that are, you know, just bent on depravity. That's what bars are.
So when you
I
watch
did
like
actually
Simon's
I did happen
video,
to go
like,
to one.
He's a sinner.
Well, obviously, I'm not going to watch a video with Simon in a bar because I like Simon. I don't need to put those negative thoughts on that guy. I went to a bar once. No, but so I had lunch
Here's how you do it. If you're worried about how the drink is going to sound when you order it, you just preface it with something like, you know what? Let me try the Maui Wowie. And that way you're prefacing before that you're going out on a limb. It's not your normal thing that you would order if it's just seems like for whatever reason Maui Wowie is not a character thing for you. Let's get real. But,
so we've got a local beer bar and they're all numbered. That takes it all the way. We're just saying, add like a number 14.
That's the solution.
Can I please have a number 14?
When you go to a burger restaurant and it's like the Bubbles Troubles, or you know, like they have these weird names that make you say something that you wouldn't, that make you seem ridiculous to the servers. I know that they're just doing it internally to make people look ridiculous. I'm like, I can't just order this like it's a food item. It's almost like I'm performing a line from a skit ordering off their menu, and I hate that. That's the Maui Wowie, and I'm not on board.
It's fantastic. You're missing out.
Yeah, I think you should try it. You should come to Livermore. I'm not gonna lie. Livermore is there's a lot of dirt, and a highway, but it's okay. Other than that, lovely area.
Let's stop. Well, we cordially invite you.
Thank you.
We can't afford any of your travel, but stay. We might be able.
Oh wow. Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you were gonna fly me up there.
Nope. Come to the Shedio. You can sleep in the Shedio. There's not a couch anymore. There's just chairs.
Who was it?
I mean, there's a crib from one of my. It's dismantled, but I could probably put it together.
I have a vague memory of Crash when I was on Jamming with the Best. Like, we should fly him up here, guys. Like, wouldn't that be hilarious? And the other guys are like, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I guess that's like could be
like if fun you're in Northern California.
and you just are driving
I could probably pick you up somewhere.
We'll buy you lunch, maybe, or like you know, we'll get the appetizer
We would for sure buy you lunch. I would definitely feed you beers.
You would have to show up and be like, I am definitely not in Kansas anymore.
Right?
I'll have the Maui Wowie. It just invites. All right, we need to. Yeah, again, we need a new
look,
ball.
The bar
Listen, one of our favorite beers is called Num Num Juice. Like, I've asked for the silliest beers you can think of, and they're fantastic. And I don't care because they're high alcohol and they do work, and I love them.
But imagine you are like 20.
You just need to stop, you know, shaming yourself for your love of great beer.
You're 23 years old. You're seeing someone.
I'm much older than that. Oh, you're not.
Oh gosh. Okay, sorry. The beard hides.
I'm 25.
You're trying to like come across as, you know, intelligent.
Oh, I'm not. Or no.
I'm like trying to imagine this. Sorry, like put yourself in this character, you know, and you're trying to look cool. It's the same reason you can't go to Chipotle on a first date. It's just not. You can't.
Because those don't exist in the town that we live in, or?
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You don't have those?
No, we don't get shit.
There's Chipotles in California.
In California, but not in our hometown.
But not where you guys? Not in our
hometown. Okay, kittens. Jeez. All right, come on.
No Chipotles?
Get back to home. Okay. All right, so Joe, I think this is a perfect course beer because, one, the alcohol percentage is low enough that I'll still be able to beat you by the end of the round when you get housed off the
the Widowmaker or whatever I drink on the way. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
For sure. No, it's a great beer. Great course beer.
I'm in on the beer. The rift, unfortunately for me, is this is like the most, since I'm a basically a buzz thrower from the very beginning, I've never thrown anything really but buzzes as a mid-range disc. It's like the hardest category for me. I really enjoyed the lines, but it's not something that is going to make my bag. Just because I just find other buzzes or beat my buzzes until they do what I want.
What is our DGP, like, what is the DGP bag, which we didn't do that?
Pipeline, I think, was like so
Compass.
Close.
Yeah,
I felt like
Compass
when you guys did the
something like that. I like this better than a Compass or an Emac.
Yeah, but the Rift
I like this better.
The Rift and the Emac and the Compass are
but it's
not.
T- it's it's, I think it goes to the understable category.
It does. Yeah, totally. It does. But I do like it.
This isn't your standard workhorse. This is for specific straight shots or turnover shots. You're not going to.
The Granite Quake is the workhorse, throw it hard. It's going to go straight with some fade. You know, throw it soft. It's overstable. Put it on an ante. It'll turn. Yeah. That's this one.
Well, let me say, and this, it, hopefully it's not a full cop out. It really is in between my Claymore and my Buzz.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
And I really do like that flight.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I threw another mid-range today that is almost exactly the same, and I won't talk about it yet and say what it is or where it was from.
The DGA Squall. I get it.
Who knows? Maybe.
There's overlap.
But I will say the glide is epic. It definitely was something that, like, as it slowly turned over, it just kept going. And it didn't turn over hard. But the coolest thing was that it didn't hook up either. Like, it just kept that slight angle the entire flight and went forever, which is rad. And I know that I throw my TI Buzz expecting that, and it will hook up sometimes. Sometimes I'll get it all the way there, but maybe I have to put a little more crank on like a slight ante. And this rocked it the whole time. Feels great in the hand. It flies great. I don't know that it has a place in the bag, but I also can't say that it doesn't. But it's a weird, like, in between. I think I dropped about 4 discs out of my bag, and I have like some tester spots. I'm definitely willing to put the Rift into a tester spot in my bag.
I'm really proud of you for slipping Feels Good in the Hand in there. That was beautiful.
Most of that sounded like what my first girlfriend said right before she broke up with me. So I'm having just like a little bit of a triggered, you know, just like, yeah, like, you know, there's definitely some things to consider there.
But then you got back together and now you're married.
It's not that I didn't like it, you know. It's more just like, yeah, I don't know if it's for me. And
I don't know if it's for me or not, to be totally honest, and I'm not going to lie. But I'm willing to, I'm willing to just give it a little, just the tip and see what's up.
Well, listen, just a win for the Rift. I have decided via extensive testing that the Rift is going to make my bag. In fact, several molds of it, several plastics, and it's going to be a solid staple in my bag. And that's what I just decided just now. So
just now.
Fantastic.
Go Rift.
That's great. That's what this segment needed, was someone to give, you know, definitive answer rather than a bunch of catchphrases for 6 minutes. But, you know, I love you, Joe. So, Joe, normally we quantify this by saying we both are in on the beer, but I don't know what kind of number to put for you.
Well, let's see.
Your
so Tyler,
Rift.
Tyler, I feel
oh, geez.
Like. I feel like you'd be in on
just
the,
say, just
on the
say
beer
a number
because
just say a number
7
13 I don't know, just we're saying numbers or?
Yeah, I don't know, I was just, he yes. said say a number, so I said a number.
Yeah,
the rating, Joe, we have to get,
well,
to
I know,
the,
I'm
ju-
let me,
you know, the
I'm kidding, this is organic. That's, Tyler obviously no. loves the Quake, sorry, the Rift. I did not.
Yes, both, but yes.
Yes.
I feel like you'd love this beer if you came and played with us, and then we'd have to like carry you
Maui,
out of the disc golf
wowie.
Course,
if,
which is
fine. If I didn't have to order it, I would drink it, and I would love it.
You're putting a weird spin on that because this is a,
that's, it, my image to bartenders.
This is a man's beer right here.
And
this
clerks.
We've already discussed
all
this
right,
extensively.
Right,
Robin,
people get your
beer,
stances.
Not the Rift. I'm taking the beer, half the Rift. So this is like a...
I'll take all 3 Rifts. Screw the beer.
A 2.5.
It's like, well, it's like a 4.5 out of 6.
Okay.
Is that good?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not awful. This is the possibility that James Codrand ends up with not Innova.
A 4.6.
A 4.6. Oh,
okay. A 4.5 out of 6.
Oh, well, that changes. Oh. Knowing the top end of that scale really changes that.
Yeah. It's hopeful. It's hopeful for the disc and the beer for everyone. But who knows? It might just end up all being the same and doesn't change anything for anybody. That's totally.
I just want to say before we close out this podcast that you guys are both beautiful people, and I really enjoy.
Robin needed more drinks. Is that what this means? Shit talk right here is Robin didn't drink enough.
I was judging you guys compliments. I really enjoyed the entire what it was. It was.
I also feel like he's ending this. Listen,
I want to know it's very much happening.
What you guys in your bag. I want to know like where you're like, man, I wish I had this, or I'm really struggling with this particular shot, or I wish I had this. This thing is really frustrating to me right now, because that's our next episode. I'm going to give you a DGA disc that's going to solve all your problems.
I don't have that.
Wow.
I mostly want more layered versions of the discs I already bag. Like I've been actively working to.
That's tricky.
To layer the discs I love and use those, because when I get out on the course, I end up throwing the same 6-7 discs most of the time because I trust them and I know what they're going to do.
So. Yeah. I think that layered piece is a great call. So Rob and I have lots of discs that we've marinated. Lots of discs that we've marinated is not the right.
not even close.
That we cycled through and are just like perfect. And then when they leave, if we lose it or whatever, it's super tough to like backfill discs that you've beat to perfection. So we're trying, in my mind, maybe not Robin, there are discs that I have that like I want to find easier replacements in the case that it goes away.
Such as?
I've got, you know what? I almost lost a few weeks ago my Rampage, my super beat up Icon Rampage, but we can talk about that another time.
I was going to say, I don't know what that is. That's not helpful.
It's fine.
That's a legacy disc.
All right. You know what? You guys, you want to stay on the Zoom chat afterwards and just
not a chance.
Talk to each other about stuff, that'll be fine.
If there's not people listening, I'm out.
Yeah. But I appreciate you coming on, Tyler. Thank you so much. This has been fantastic. And that's all we got for this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. I'd also like to thank our wonderful sponsor, otbdisc.com. Use promo code DGPodcast to get free shipping on your next order. They are an amazing disc golf retailer, and they're just the best. Go to otbdisc.com. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. You can get access to our pre-shows, which we do before every single episode. And if you burn through our main catalog and you're looking for more content, there's like 200 of them now just sitting there waiting, full of nonsense. So check those out. Probably not 200. Let's say like 150. But nonetheless, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. Please check it out. And Tyler already mentioned it extensively earlier in the show, but go to throwstuffatstuff.com, use the join Slack link in the main navigation, and join the best disc golf community in the world, and you won't regret it, I promise. And in the meantime, get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. Don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you wanna put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you fill my throat for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA, so let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly, and then I'll fucking hook it softly, and then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook